Hello and welcome everyone to the Key to Licensing One Simple Idea, simplifying licensing for inventors, product developers, and idea people. If you are here looking to learn about how to get your product to market through the route of licensing, you are in the right place. Stay tuned and make sure to join the others who are on their licensing journey. Hello and welcome everybody to another InventRight podcast. This is your host, Sylvia Pomazak, and today we have a student of ours, Garth Patchen, who recently licensed one of his products that has now been in Walmart stores. And for anyone out there who are looking for gifts for the holiday season or any time of the year, please stop in and take a look at his product that is out there, which we will be talking about shortly. But I want to welcome you, Garth, to the podcast and looking forward to chatting with you about your entire licensing experience. So welcome.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome. Okay. So let's go ahead and get started with the before. So before you became a student, tell us a little bit about what was going on. How did you come up with this idea of licensing products, and just kind of talk us and walk us through what the what your path has been to get us to, you know, current day.
Sure. Essentially, I was, I have a day job, let's say that, but I've always been the type of person that tinkers with things, fixes things. I look at things a little bit differently, I think, than some people, so I'm told. And maybe that's reflected in the type of products that I develop.
Now, with your day job, are you an industrial engineer, an industrial designer? Are you, a lawyer? Are you a mechanic? Do you have these advanced degrees?
No, I have a marketing degree out of the University of Southern California Business School.
Okay.
I have a lot of sales and marketing. My background, my family is a medical background. So I had a mobile neurodiagnostic business one time. So I kind of have a professional side to me. And then I went from a neurodiagnostic business where I would test it. Physicians, patients in their offices, and basically I had to shock them. It was a nerve conduction space for like carpal tunnel and what have you. And then I moved to Eastern Washington, and we bought some land over there, and I became a logger.
Whoa.
How hard can it be to run a chainsaw? So, that's a different phone. We'll get rid of it.
That actually was a really fun job for me because I got to run heavy equipment. It was my own business, and I basically was able to go play in my backyard, which ended up being, several thousand acres around of trees and this and that. But that's just one job. So, but I learned to, when I was doing that, we lived off the grid for 7 years in a chalet on the side of a mountain that was solar, propane backup, and wind generator. And so you solved what you needed to do. I mean, you fixed it. If something needs fixing, you fix it, or you look at it until you can fix it. Can't, then you'll bring somebody in. But I really learned to get more mechanical at that point. And I guess I would say that, that was very helpful to me because I wasn't mechanical before, Sylvia. I played sports when I was in high school and this and that. That gave me an opportunity to force me to start figuring things out.
I was going to say it sounds like a very problem-solving type of environment and situation that you were forced to, and you chose and were forced to be in when you were having to solve problems or learn the tools and techniques or things with becoming mechanical.
Yeah, I mean that's helpful to me for prototyping, for instance. Mm-hmm.
the essentially this is the bottle cap back scratchers. My first invention that we had brought to market, my wife and I had discussed various products that I've invented over the years, and that was the easiest one. So as I'm talking with students, I would recommend that you choose something that's doable for you, something that your prototype you can pull off. They should seriously consider. I'm working on my second product now. In fact, it's done, and I'm taking it to companies. But Lindsay Whitaker really, really helped me with virtual prototypes. I mean, it is amazing. So you can have something that's really rudimentary or what have you, or just a basic drawing, and it can turn out to be fabulous. Mm-hmm. And
for those who don't know who Lindsay is one of the designers from the design studio. And the virtual prototypes that our design studio create, I've seen, obviously, my own virtual prototypes, your experience, they do incredible and phenomenal work. It's like you can literally reach your hand into the computer and just pluck it out. It just looks so realistic.
Let's tag that with it looks so professional.
Yes, extremely professional. I mean, they just do such a phenomenal job. It's amazing.
So when I bring that up, I just would say that, you know, for me, and I'll get back to what we're talking about in a second, but having coaching available, I think that people need that. Steven has some videos on that. You're going to have questions. That's what Steven and Andrew say. Hey, questions are going to come up, and that's why you need a coach. My coach has been Ryan Diaz. I've been with InventRight for 2 years now. As I'm working on my second product, and all the tools that they have, all the resources, I don't think anybody's going to find anything close to that anywhere else. So it's been seriously helpful to me.
Well, what brought you to InventRight? So you were doing the login thing, and then all of a sudden, how did you come about with finding InventRight and then jumping in?
Well, let me cover some things real quickly. So, neurodiagnostics in the medical field, logging, I've sold insurance, I've sold retail manufactured homes, I've sold manufactured log cabins when I was here in South Carolina. And then for the last 6 years, I've been a project manager, we'll call it, with regards to roofing, and that is roofing siding. And I've actually done traveling for about 4 of the years. I'd be somewhere else a good share of the year and not be here at home, and got tired of that, so I'm not doing that anymore, and I'm working locally. So anyways, I have various skill sets. So I've been in South Carolina, and going back to, well, how did I get started? I initially had my wife and I had decided, because I wanted to do this, I have a number of products that are good products and should be brought to market, and we chose the bottle cap back scratcher. And so we decided to get a patent, not knowing any better at the time. And I could not get a utility patent because somebody had put up a YouTube video somewhere, sometime, with a paint stick and a couple bottle caps glued to it. And I didn't know of any of that until I came to InventRight. I found out that when I talked to my patent attorney here. But so I got 2 design patents is the route that I took. And so when I was working, I think, in San Antonio, and I was reading online, I had had, I tried to send my product prototypes and get into a company. And I went to the largest one that you can think of, which is Crown Cork, who invented the bottle cap some 200 and some years ago. You know, and you'd think that somebody would have figured out that bottle caps are the best thing ever for scratching your back, but no one has. And I sent them that. I'm pretty good at talking up things or writing, copying this and that. And I think the gentleman there at the time was thinking that I was sending some raging new concept for containers or manufacturing of containers, because that's actually what they do now is they make containers, cans and this and that. So it ended up, he sent my prototypes back, you know, kind of broken in my box. And I think he opened up one back scratchers. Well, you know, that's okay. That's not their business now. And so I wasn't sure what to do after that point. And so it just kind of sat there for a while. I knew I had a great product because we, you know, I have one in my truck, I have one at home, family's had one. So we've had this particular product for about 5 years in the family. And once you use one, you hate to not be having one close by when you get that itch that you can't scratch. Mm-hmm. So anyways, where was I? I think I got off track there. Direct me back, Ms. Sawyer.
So, yes. So you had sent the prototype to the company. They sent it back. It was broken. And then you didn't know really what to do.
Right. So I'm in San Antonio, and I came across somewhere on the web, you know, InventRight.com. And I started reading. It was probably a video that I watched. And then I saw that there was the book, One Simple Idea. And I sent away for it. And when it came, I'm a pretty fast reader. So, you know, my One Simple Idea is really marked up with highlights and underlining and this and that. And I called my wife up and I said, this is it. I found it. I can do this. And so when students look at the 10 steps, you see, I looked at it and I went, okay, I've got marketing sales background. I can come up with I can create my prototype. If not, I can find some. So through the 10 steps, you're going to be good and have experience at some of them, but probably not all of them.
Right.
And that's where the coach comes in, and you know, you just bite the bullet and it's okay to fail. You got to be okay with that. And you go, I'm going to jump off the cliff and go for it. And so that's what I did. I signed up with InventRight. I called up and guess who answered the phone? It was Andrew. Who returned my call, and you know, in my conversation, I'm like, yeah, I got this patent. And he's like, well, why'd you do that? Andrew.
It's so Andrew. Oh, why'd you do that? That's such a respect. That's a great.
well, why'd you do that? And, you know, I thought, hey, I got these patents. And he's like, well, why'd you do that? And as you go along, you find out that's what InventRight preaches is you don't need that. But I went into it with that, and I got matched up with Ryan Diaz, and you know, we started off on the journey. That's kind of how I came to InventRight, was finding it. And I just knew, Sylvia, when I saw the 10 steps, that, you know, I can do that.
Yeah,
that's not that hard. And you start with one, you know, step one, and you just start crawling if that's all you can do. Until you can walk and until you can run, you get through the steps one at a time, and the resources and the coach are there to really help.
Did you find at any point that were there any steps or times during the process like that you felt you were really struggling or was really challenging for you? And how did you work through that?
I think I'm going to state it this way. I didn't really have a problem with almost all of the steps. I'm on my second, or I'm through everything, if you will, on my second product, and I'm contacting companies, but I'm going to tell you, but see, I had that patent on the first one, but the PPA I agonized over on my second. My second product. It's just because maybe I'm a perfectionist and I got some information from Gene Quinn. I had him review it, and there was a few issues, and then I was like, oh my goodness. And you want to do it right. You want to make sure that you do it right. But there's a vast amount of information to absorb, do that right. So it took me a while. So I would say that was the hardest step for me on my second product. I think on the first one, it was really calling companies and contacting companies, because this particular product has been considered by, let's say, it's gotten classified as a niche product in the novelty area. And see, I don't I just don't think of it as a novelty. I think of it as a tool. Novelty is a ha-ha type of a thing. It tends to make people smile for some reason. It's a whimsical product. I guess I'd use that word.
Yeah.
But for what it does, it's the best back scratcher that's ever been devised. And right. I'm not sure anybody's going to be able to beat that for a while. And the reason is that there is 21 micro edges on every cap. Bottle cap, and so on that particular version that I've got in Walmart, there's 8. So that's 168 micro edges, and for whatever reason, that just beats everything else that's out there into, you know, nothing. Nothing compares. The sound's different when you're scratching yourself, when you're scratching an itch. It feels 100 or multiples of times better than anything else anybody's ever going to find. So I knew that I had a winner as far as here's an amazing product in its category. Now all I have to do is dress it up and make it attractive thematically, if you will, and make it cool, look cool, and people will love it. So this is the first iteration of it that is in Walmart.
That's amazing. That's incredible.
I'll tell you, let me add this. And so actually it went from kind of a small a spatula that you might find in Walmart. It's almost a barbecue-sized, or it is a barbecue-sized utensil, if you will, or back scratcher now. So it's more of a man's gift, but that's not really, it's really something that a woman also will pick up, but there will be other versions that thematically are attractive to females and women. And I think we'll see a lot of different ones.
That's incredible. That's fantastic. Did you think, what were your thoughts on the timing of things? Did you have expectations going in the program? Like, I'm going to license this. It's going to be tomorrow. Right. Or were you, talk about the whole, like, just timing of things from even coming in with the design patent and the prototype ready and everything, kind of how the timing of things transpired for you with this specific product?
Kind of rolled things through, rolled forward fairly quickly. I have some, I guess you'd call it expertise or whatever, with regards to writing copy, layout, this and that, from my marketing background. So I was actually really looking forward to the sell sheet. That's fun for me. And yeah. I was confident that I could do a good job. And so really, you know, I sent you one earlier. My sell sheet represents me arranging everything and having it flow. And, you know, I'm meticulous about that. And a lot of time, a lot of turning things around in your head and this and that. And I tend to write a bunch of copy and then distill it down and find the bullet points that I think are most important, and then you're putting it on there to have it make sense. So there's a lot of tweaking to it, but that was a fun process for me. So I got that together, and I had researched my product. I probably had 30 companies. Some folks might have heard a video with Steven or what have you, Ryan, but I had called quite a few companies, and I hadn't really had any bites, if you will, but people certainly gave me a listen. The very first guy I called was like Sunscope or whatever, and it was, I think it was Sunscope, but it was somebody that big in the novelty business, and the owner answered, and I almost dropped my cookies because I was looking at his picture there, and he's like, hello, this is, you know, but we had a nice 5-minute conversation, and so that got me over the heebie-jeebies, if you will, of cold calling companies.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it was a warm reception by him. He's like, if you have anything else, just come up with Garth. This isn't quite right for us, but, you know, give me a call. And so I was like, awesome. So I was able to roll through my calls, but I really didn't find the licensee that I was looking for. And as my story goes, it was my coach, Ryan, who was in a Bed Bath & Beyond and found this dog paw back scratcher. It's essentially a plastic, looks like a dog paw,
yeah,
on a stick. Maybe you saw that somewhere, but anyways, sorry, my cat just jumped off of me here.
Okay. we'll edit that part out.
No worries. So Ryan sent me the dog paw backstretch, a picture of it, the picture of the name on the box, and said, call this guy. And I said, well, he's actually been on my list, but there was, you know, I mean, minimal information I could find online. Didn't sound to me like they did very much business at all, but it was all, how should we call it? It was all smoke and mirrors, if you will, because this gentleman has really good relationships with lots of retailers. Uh-huh. And can get placement. I mean, you're seeing the placement there right in the middle of the aisle. And actually, it was supposed to come out with Anheuser-Busch as part of their gift package for 2018, but it ended up, for some reason, they backed out. And he said it wasn't because of that. It was just whatever they thought was the whole gift thing. So I'm not sure if anybody has seen the back scratcher. It's got Wasatch beer on it. I guess that's a good Mormon brewery in Salt Lake City, because that's where it's from. But he must have, and I don't have the information to give folks, but there must be a relationship between my licensee and them that got established, because he sent me that and it's on there. I thought it was not going to have any logos on it at all, but mm-hmm. it is supposed to be a branded product. So it's really two things. It's a branded, it's the most awesome back scratcher, but it is a terrific, maybe one of the better swag gifts that'll come along for a while, because it's so versatile. Any kind of corporate logo can go on it. On the back side of it is the biggest space on there for decals, whatever.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. I'm like, wow, this is. Yeah.
They didn't put it on there, but they should have. But you know, whoever Wasatch Beer is. But nonetheless, it will be in the future. And I had made prototypes and I sent out a lot of cool ones over time. I can tell you that.
Wow. That's incredible. So do you foresee yourself doing the licensing products further, continuing on with is this something that is you're enjoying the experience and licensing and coming up with ideas and plan on continuing to work on others as well?
Excellent question. So it's actually my retirement plan. So I'm 58 now. I've been thinking up ideas for a long time, and essentially I have a little stable of ideas that I've invented over 30 years or whatever. I have one that's really good that I invented when I was 23 that's still, no one's invented it. It's like a bottle cap back scratcher. So I hope to come out with that, and I'm going to push that through my current licensee as well. And that's something else that I'll bring up for students is you're in this business to create relationships. And once you create a relationship or a pipeline through certain retailers, well, then you can send other products to your licensee.
Yeah.
Or you can invent in that space. And yeah. So I'm pretty excited about that.
I think a lot of people are so focused on the product. Like they're just so focused on the product and the idea. And sometimes they're forgetting that the relationship that they need to establish with potential licensees is something sometimes more important or as important as the idea itself. Because it's just such a important part of the licensing process. So regardless of the product that you have, even if you think it's incredible or amazing or however many you have, also you can't forget the aspect of reaching out to companies and speaking with them, getting to know them, going to their website, understanding what they do, what their product line is, just getting to understand who these companies are and what they do and what kind of products they put out into the marketplace, so that you're prepared when you're contacting them as well, and you know what they are about as when you're establishing that relationship. So So that's an important part of the process. But it's also incredible for me to hear that you are, this is your retirement plan. You know, you are, you just licensed, and this is essentially the first product that you've licensed, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, this is the first product that you're, that you've licensed.
First one I tried and I licensed it. So
yes. Yeah. And about that. And that's, yes, that is fantastic. That's so incredible. Cause not a lot of people will license their first product idea. It might be their second or it might be their third or, and, but you did. And just knowing that you've had ideas since you were in your 20s that you can still brush off and work on licensing those out. So I feel like you're never, there's never, you know, the right time necessarily, any time, and you're never too old. You're never, it's never the perfect timing of things or I need to, you know, get my this, and this in order to know how to do everything. You really are going through the experience and learning as you go and taking experiences and knowledge and skills that you've done from the many hats that you've worn and being able to apply that into the process itself. So I think that that's incredible to know that anyone can really do this. Do you feel that way? Do you feel like if you have an idea that if you follow the steps, you can license? What's your perspective on that?
I feel very confident about that. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Yeah, I'm very confident that folks, I mean, you can get your stuff out there, your products out there in front of the right people, and you will have all the tools and it's going to look professional. If you're going to, and you're going to have a coach, it's going to keep you on track. And so I think it's completely realistic. I think that like anybody, you know, I see the products that people put out and what have you. And I mean, you can go out to a store and just look and see how many things are out there. I tend to not choose a particular space. I just come up with stuff because I solve a problem that's my problem. My second product has to do with glasses and eyeglasses, if you will, actually eyeglass frames, and it solves a big problem. Some people do a little tweak to something and they like to stay like in the kitchen niche, you know, maybe women might concentrate on that, but I know guys do too. But I think you have to get excited about your own product.
And you do.
You asked me a little bit about that before. As a product developer, you want to be the one who has the most passion about what it is that you're pushing, that you want to get out on the shelves, because you believe in it and you believe it solves a problem and you believe people are going to love it. Mm-hmm. And so you're its biggest fan, but you have to be realistic about that. You know, just like if you're a singer and you have a bunch and you're singing in your bedroom and all your friends tell you you're great, but you're really not. And then you go out there and everybody keeps telling you you're great, but you're not.
Right.
That's not good for you.
No.
You need to be realistic and you have to stand back and look at your product and go, is this thing going to stand on the shelf? Are people going to love it? The best thing that you have and roll with it.
Yeah. I completely agree. I would say that absolutely. It's a lot of people want to hear what they want to hear, but sometimes they need to be open to needing to hear what they need to hear instead of what they want to hear instead. So
they're going to have to get a little bit of a thick skin because you're going to be presenting your sell sheet and you're going to get a lot of no's. And yes, my approach is I'm going to go out and collect no's just like InventRight teaches. I'm going to go out.
Yes. That's how I think of it. Every time I get a no, I'm like, yes, keep them coming. Just give me the no's. Cause at least you looked at it and you said, no. Go out and get the nose.
And you don't let it phase you. You never quit. You stay persistent. That's one thing that I have about myself is the tenacity that I don't give up. Yes, if the bottle cap back scratcher, if I didn't think it was good or I just kept getting nose and nose and nose, I still would have moved on with the second truck, but I would still probably be trying to get it out there.
Yeah, I agree.
And you just have to prepare yourself for nose because you're going to get them and roll on forward. If you get information from the folks that you're talking to at these companies, that's gold to you. It's very helpful.
Yeah, that's incredible. Yeah. Well, we're ending up short on time here, so I want to just wrap things up and thank you so much for being a guest on the show. If there is one key to or advice that you would give to current students or individuals that even aren't students but are still out there trying to work through the process there on their own, what would that be?
Well, I think that they should read Stephen's book.
One simple idea, maybe.
Obviously, one simple idea, and take those 10 steps and roll forward. And I saw it as being an intelligent move on my part with regards to an investment in myself, an investment in learning this skill set that I wanted to learn, which I have learned now. And I continue to take products, and that's what I wanted to do. But folks just need to take those 10 steps, and if they can, they really should become a student and get a coach, because so many resources, you increased vastly your chances of success by having a coach facilitate helping you through the challenges that you're going to run into, and they will run.
Yeah, I completely agree. Personal experience and from just seeing the what the students are experiencing who are working with the coaches. So I want to thank you so much for allowing me to interview you. For those of you who have not seen the Bottle Cap Back Scratcher, it's online on our website. There's also a newsletter that we sent out. So anyone who has not signed up for the newsletter, you can go on InventRight.com and sign up for the newsletter. Also, our YouTube video, InventRight TV, on YouTube, and our podcast. So thank you so much, Garth. And we will hope to be hearing from you again with more success stories along the way.
Thank you, Sylvia. Appreciate it very much.